Live on the Freak Radio Network, broadcasting from the Lucas Oil Studios.
Driven by General Tire.
And powered by 1-800-LOAN-MART.
Get cash fast when you need it.
It's Speed Freaks. Motorsports Radio redefined.
Break the hell!
With Kenny Sargent.
Paging Dr. Douchebag.
Crash Gladys.
Get in crash position.
And Statman.
Don't overdrive the car.
Here's the Freak.
Coming off Freak.
I say, how are you doing, Freak Nation? Good to be with you tonight. I say it's good to be with you. I mean, it's damn good to be with you tonight, Freak Nation. Statman, Crash Gladys, Kenny Sargent, the website speedfreaks.tv, and of course on Twitter at speedfreaks. Coming up with the show, got a couple of big-time winners for you. Denny Hamlin finally gets that big-ass monkey, or what do you call a group of monkeys, Statman? It's, Statman, what do you call it? Damn, a lot of damn monkeys off your back. What the hell is it?
It's called a Denny Fest.
Yeah. Put your damn Denny monkeys off your back. There you go.
Yeah.
So the monkeys finally off of Joe Gibbs Racing, with Denny Hamlin getting himself a win in New Hampshire. Denny's going to be joining us coming up this hour. Also, we're going to hear from Joseph Newgarden, IndyCar Series winner from Toronto. And Statman, out of the gate, I got to say this about Toronto. I don't recall one race, IndyCar race in Toronto, where there hasn't been a sold-out crowd. Did you see the stands for this race today again?
And Toronto has always been, as far back as I can remember, I think Paul Tracy was what got everybody involved, and they've just bought into the thing ever since then. It was wonderful to see full grandstands at an automobile race. That you don't even see that in NASCAR anymore.
At an automobile race. Man, did we just go back about 60 years here, Crash?
We sound a little old.
Yeah, well, so are,
it's a motor race.
So are full grandstands. That's pretty old, too.
Oh, true.
Right.
Valid point.
And say this, say what you will about the IndyCar Series, Crash. You know this as well as anybody. All these different winners for IndyCar has got to bode well long-term for IndyCar. It's not the same old willpower. Scott Dixon, I could go on and on.
Tony Kanaan, Elio Castroneves. Right. It's good to see that the new crop that will be coming up when Elio does hang it up, when Tony Kanaan hangs it up. It's good to see that the new crop behind them, oh yeah, there's plenty of talent. They're racing and winning, beating the big guys right now, and so it's only going to get better. I mean, it can only get better. Those guys' careers can only get better is what I'm saying.
Well, Scott
You've
Dixon,
got Newgarden.
Wait a minute. Scott Dixon is leading the points, Crash.
So that is true.
We
that
can't
is true.
Say that everybody's done. Scott Dixon is one of the old school guys, four championships, but he's leading the points again.
I just find it interesting that today's podium was Joseph Newgarden 1, Alexander Rossi 2, and James Hinchcliffe 3. I mean, those are three guys on the podium that you would not consider one of the top racers in the series. I mean, they're all considered up-and-comers. Hinchcliffe maybe a little bit farther along than the other two, but it was just, to me, when I saw that podium, I thought, huh, that's just, it's interesting. The series is in good hands for many years to come.
Yeah, we were saying that 2 years ago about Simon Pagenaud, and Simon Pagenaud won a championship last year. So maybe we're already in that transition from whatever it used to be to whatever it's going to be.
You know, you're exactly right, because all the talk in the paddock now is Elio does not know what he's doing next year. We're talking Dancing with the Stars, Season 5 champion, Elio Castroneves, three-time Indy 500 winner. Not 100% sure he's going to be back for a full-time ride with Penske next year. So
what?
Yeah, it's an interesting time for Elio. He was asked many times in Toronto about his future, and he says, you know, there are just some things that aren't up to exclusively your decision. So I'm just kind of waiting to see how other pieces of the puzzle fall in line. And right now I'm just focused on this weekend. So
I don't know about that. That's who would, number one, who would step away from Elio? And number two, why would Elio step away from the best team in American racing?
This is not Elio's decision. This is a Roger Penske decision. If the money can be there to field four cars again next year.
Yeah, plus Roger is going to be in IMSA next year. So
Exactly.
Maybe it might be expensive, but Ganassi has been doing it for several years now. He's been in sports cars. He's been in NASCAR. He's been in IndyCar, and he found some spare time to build one of the best sports car GT programs in the world. So if Ganassi can do it, I would like to think that Roger Penske could pull it off.
I would like to think so as well, but Ganassi does, this sounds a little strange, but it is true. Ganassi right now, Chip Ganassi Racing on all sides, all forums, has more sponsorship than Roger Penske. If you really think about it, and Roger Penske is adding to his stable with that sports car team, he's going to have to figure out a way to find more sponsorship money. So, like anything, it comes down to freaking dollars.
Well,
go ahead, Steph. Hold on a second. We got 15 seconds here
we got newbies coming in.
Yeah, man, that's how we roll here in the Freak Nation. Again, the website, speedfreaks.tv. Follow us on Twitter at Speed Freaks. Statman, Crash Gladys, Kenny Sargent, Speed Freaks on a Sunday night. Happy to be with you, Freak Nation. And again, we'd like to welcome in our new affiliates here in the Freak Nation at Speed Freaks on Twitter, speedfreaks.tv, of course, your website, and Denny Hamlin coming up in moments, and Joseph Newgarden, IndyCar Series winner, joining us here momentarily. And Statman, getting into our conversation about the newbies in IndyCar Series that are winning. Remember when we thought Denny Hamlin was a newbie in NASCAR, and now Denny Hamlin's a freaking veteran without a championship, kind of going Mark Martin on us?
Well, I think I'm not that big a fan. I've got some guys in NASCAR that I follow and think could walk on water, but there's some others who couldn't get off the pier if they walked to the end of it. So, and Denny Hamlin, I just have no confidence in Denny Hamlin, especially after what he did a couple of years ago. He folded completely when somebody wanted to give him a championship. So I'm not a big Denny Hamlin fan. He probably loves me too, but that's another issue.
Yeah, he's on line one. In fact, Denny Hamlin joining us in about 5 minutes here in the Freak Nation. You can ask him that there, Stat. Crash, you got about a minute, 45 seconds. Crash Gladys Pit News and Notes brought to my good friends at Continental Tire. You log on to ContinentalTire.com to find the righteous rubber for your righteous ride.
All right, the big news of the weekend, in my opinion, was X Games. First time in Minneapolis. So let's talk about the motorsports categories. Levi Sherwood taking home two golds, one in Moto X Freestyle and the other one in Best Trick. Jared McNeil, gold in Step Up. Sammy Halbert, gold in Flat Track. And just today, Colby Raja, gold in Moto X Quarter Pipe. Later on in the show, Statman, I want to talk to you about where in the heck did Rally X go? NASCAR, we were talking a little bit about Denny Hamlin taking the cup win today. Kyle Busch dominated the Xfinity race yesterday. It's safe to say Joe Gibbs Racing is back. Denny Hamlin on with us in about 5 minutes. Stay tuned. IndyCar raced up in Toronto. The season's points got all jammed up as Will Power crashed out first. Dixon had issues. Ray Hall got caught out by the first yellow, but with his second win now on the season, Joseph Newgarden moved up to fourth in points. Joseph Newgarden joins us later in the show as well.
Again, Crash Gladys Pit News and Notes brought to you by good friends at Continental Tire. You log on to ContinentalTire.com to find the righteous rubber for your righteous ride, or ContinentalTire.com. Coming up, Joseph Newgarden will be joining us here in the Freak Nation. What the hell did he do by jumping on that car? I almost broke his freaking ankles. We'll talk to him about that. And, of course, Denny Hamlin will be joining us in about 3.5 minutes, your cup winner from New Hampshire. Coming up next, Denny Hamlin, next, Speed Freaks Pits and the Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Hey, cat owners, stop killing the earth. Yeah, you heard me right. You've done angelic work by rescuing cats from death row. Now do your part to save the planet. Dump your old clay litter, part of 8 billion pounds of waste clogging up landfills yearly, and go to catspotlitter.com. Order the all-natural, all-organic cat spot litter. It's made of 100% coconut, it's long-lasting, it eliminates odors, and only weighs 5 pounds. Oh, and delivered to your door for just $15 a month with free delivery. Hello? Look, Unlike old, dusty, heavy clay litter that we're so used to, Cat Spot Litter's work is not over when the litter box needs to be changed. When your Cat Spot Litter has run its course, you dump it in your garden, your lawn, compost it. It contains natural nutrients and absorbs water. You've saved a cat's life. Now go save the planet at catspotlitter.com. Your cat will thank you, and the planet thanks you. Organic, odor-eliminating, and just $15 a month. Catspotlitter.com.
So, you're driving something big or small that demands synthetic oils? Then you need to add Lucas Pure Synthetic Oil Stabilizer with each oil change, which won't be that often, as Lucas' special formula increases oil life up to 50% longer, all while reducing heat and wear in your car or truck's engine. You'll find increased power and fuel economy as well. If it spins, heats, shifts, or turns, you need Lucas Pure Synthetic Oil Stabilizer.
Hey, Freak Nation, it's time you clean up your tires and rims. So do it with Lucas Slick Mist Tire and Trim Shine. It's an environmentally friendly treatment spray designed to give tires and trim a long-lasting, like-new shine. Use Slick Mist Tire Shine to remove dull, gray oxidation from bumpers, tires, plastic, rubber, and vinyl trim. It's long-lasting, UV-resistant, and helps prevent sidewall blowout. Log on to LucasOil.com for more info and pick up Lucas Slick Mist Tire and Trim Shine at major auto parts stores today.
With 2.7 million miles of paved roads and 1.4 million miles of unpaved roads in the U.S., where will your Continental Tires take you? Continental Tires' new Terrain Contact AT is the ideal all-terrain tire for CUV, SUV, and light trucks and will get you where you need to go. Traction Plus technology gives you the durability to conquer dirt, gravel, and grass while also providing a quiet, comfortable ride on pavement. For more information, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what? You do.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind-the-scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsports' biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit lucasoilracing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV. Grab it and hold on tight.
You're listening to Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
All right, now here we go. Now we're going to tell you a little story here about the way we like to party. Take you on a trip.
Radio Network. Thank you guys for being a part of this big old thing, and I think you can hear in the background you got some excitement. It's not just the damn driver, it's probably the family and friends. His name is Denny Hamlin, your NASCAR Cup winner from New Hampshire, joining the Freaks. And they talk about monkeys on backs. How about monkeys on corporations like Joe Gibbs Racing, Denny Hamlin? That some bitch is off now, bud.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I knew we had a good shot going in the weekend. All of our cars were fast. Unfortunately, you know, we had a backup car, and it wasn't as good as our primary, but it was good enough today, you know, with good execution to put ourselves in a position to win. And, you know, we did everything on that, you know, the last 30 laps to get the win.
Denny Hamlin, your Cup winner from New Hampshire, joining the Freaks. And drivers talk about there's times during the race when they know that they're going to win this thing. Was there a time maybe through the second half that you knew you had a shot to win it?
You know, really, it was probably 20 to go. We had built up about a 2.5 second lead. Really, at that point, I was just kind of managing my gap to Larson and making sure I didn't overdrive the corner, make sure I didn't make any big mistakes to allow him to creep in the picture. So, for me, it was kind of about, you know, doing that. And I feel like, I did everything I needed to do to execute to get that victory.
Denny Hamlin, the expectations of Joe Gibbs Racing were huge at the beginning of the year. And it's been now until halfway through the season before some of those expectations were met. Why?
Well, really, you know, there's been probably three cars that have been extremely fast every weekend, the 78 and the 42, you know, being two of those. And you know, we've been very close, but we just haven't had the speed that those guys have had realistically. So, you know, we needed to get better. We did that. We got better. We closed the gap. But honestly, today was about executing and picking a car that probably could have finished second or third and making a race-winning car at the end.
And that's how it's done, Denny Hamlin. It's rare in the Cup Series that the fastest car wins. That just doesn't happen every week.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you've seen so many race winners, is that the competition is so close, and we always talk about every week about it's hard to pass. Well, a lot of it is because we're all running the same speed. There is so much parity, so it's about who can get out front and get that done. And so today was our day. You know, we put ourselves up front, and we accomplished it.
NASCAR winner from New Hampshire, Denny Hamlin, joins us here in the Freaks Pits. And, Denny, let's get to the important questions now. What in the world is up with your lobster phobia?
I just don't like lobsters. Really never have. They kind of freak me out a little bit. So, not really sure. I mean, it's probably the only thing I am scared of.
But hold on. I just got a text from somebody right before you coming on with us saying, ask him about his lobster phobia. He doesn't even like to sit next to people who order lobster at dinner.
Yeah, I just, for whatever reason, they freak me out. I just don't like looking at them for a lot of different reasons.
So, okay, what was the hardest thing today? Winning that GDM race, or you actually holding a 44-pound lobster in victory lane?
Well, I leaned on my crew guys to let, you know, they like lobster. I don't, so I say throw them back in the sea where he came from and let him live, but I'm sure they won't let that happen.
All right, Danny, we'll end it with a couple of questions in regards to, you talk about execution. There's execution in NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. For a successful driver, team, crew chief, owner, what's the most important thing when it comes to successful execution to finally grab that checkered flag? Is there one thing in particular?
Well, I think it's just, you know, don't make any mistakes. You know, everyone's so close, like we talked about earlier in speed, that you have to be the guy that doesn't make mistakes. I think the 18 had a couple speeding penalties today. 78 had a tire issue. So we had to just make sure that we didn't make mistakes. You know, we had at times the second, third place fastest car. So it was up to us. We were going to win. We needed them to make a mistake and us capitalize, and that's what we did.
Denny Hamlin, your New Hampshire winner, joining the Freaks. And Denny, Joe Gibbs, his championships are numerous. We know that. But also in NASCAR, it's important for sponsors to be recognized. And putting FedEx there in the winner's circle is so important for the business side of Joe Gibbs Racing. What does this do for Joe Gibbs from an emotional standpoint?
Well, it's obviously big for our organization. You know, it locks us in the playoffs. And, you know, the 18's in a very good spot to be in the playoffs. And so the 20 is battling. He's battling his way into the playoff picture as well. So we're, you know, you never know what can happen. Like I said, 2 months ago, once we win one race, we're liable to win two or three in a row. So our organization could get hot at any moment.
Okay. I know Kenny said that was the last, but hold on. How many pounds of confetti did your daughter grab?
A lot. Definitely loves confetti, and, you know, she's more excited about that than any kind of trophy. So, yeah, it's the simple things that keep her entertained.
Denny Hamlin, your winner for New Hampshire, joining the Freaks. Denny, good luck, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thinking about that lobster, I'm thinking about Statman. Was it lobsters or crabs, Statman, that you had that you had coming after you in the back seat of a car one time?
There's two sacks of crabs that my aunt went to the waterfront in D.C. to pick up so the adults could eat crab that night. She stopped at a market and told she had to run in to get something. I don't know what, but I was like 5 years old, 6 years old, and she points at me and says, "Don't get out of the car. I'll be right back." Well, obviously, the crabs didn't hear, so she closed the door, and the crabs started plopping onto the back seat, and it was the ultimate dilemma of my life to disobey my aunt or get eaten by these crabs. So I went through, I don't know, like 19 years of pain and agony and phobia before I was at a banquet, had some crabs and black bean sauce. And when I asked for more, I said, "What is that anyway?" And somebody said it was crabs. So that ended that issue right there.
Oh, I can only imagine being a five-year-old watching these things with claws kind of sort of crawling toward you. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I've always my entire life, I've wondered about the first person who looked at a crab or a lobster and said, I bet that's good to eat, and cooked it some way and ate it. I mean, I'd like to find out how that came to pass.
After you were, well, scared of crabs for a long time, did you ever end up eating them?
Oh yeah, I don't. It's not my go-to place, but I had another relative, my brother-in-law in Oakland, who took me to a place and ordered for me and sat there and laughed. Says, "You're going to eat that tonight," and I waded through the whole thing. It was delicious.
It's just funny because Denny Hamlin will not even sit next to somebody eating lobster. It's just weird to me. Did you ever kind of have it go that far?
Oh, no. I mean, I understood where it came from. I think the end of the story is that when they, you know, you cook crabs and lobsters live. So when they put them in the pot and were cooking them, it was like right at my eye level. And I walked over to the stove and I could hear them scratching inside the pot. And I said, you're going to have to cook me a hamburger. And everybody got mad, but they found some hamburger. And, at 5 years old, I wasn't going to eat something that was fighting to get out from the situation, you know?
So do you still have dreams about that, Stan?
Oh, no. I've eaten enough crab between that then and now when I was a senior in college and when crabs, they come by the house and, I'm a stop on the crab bus tour. When they come by, they say, stay away from that house right there. And everybody stops and takes pictures and then they go on.
And we're playing up, of course, what Denny Hamlin said. He just has a phobia for lobsters. I guess it's a phobia. He wouldn't touch on it. He wouldn't say why he has an issue with freaking lobsters. So imagine him having to hold that damn near 50-pound lobster this afternoon at New Hampshire after that win and what that was doing to his innards.
Well, he ran from it at first. They knew he was afraid of it, and they tried to give it to him, and he ran off the stage. I saw that, and I said, what's he doing? But, I get it's live. I thought those things were just decoration, but, you know, I'm with Denny. Anything that old to get that big deserves to be left alone and just throw him back in the water. Well, who needs to eat that? You know, that's the human condition to try to control everything.
Freak Nation, what about you? Do you have a phobia? Check us out on Twitter at Speed Freaks. Let us know. Crasher has one. I bet Statman does. I certainly do. Our phobias and yours next. Speed Freaks Pits and the Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Hopefully you're following us on Twitter at Speed Freaks, the website, speedfreaks.tv. You missed that Denny Hamlin interview. We'll have it up on the website tomorrow morning for you, speedfreaks.tv. Of course, they're on Facebook as well. Denny Hamlin talking about, I guess it's a phobia. If you just are very uncomfortable around something like a lobster, which, of course, is what he won after he won in New Hampshire, a 44-pound lobster, and just dude just does not like lobster. I guess you have a phobia. Is that a phobia or just...
It is a phobia, but it obviously doesn't control him because he ended up holding it up in victory lane, holding up this 44-pound lobster. But, yes, it is a phobia of sorts. He won't even sit next to people, he just told us. He won't even sit next to people who are eating lobster at dinner. I mean, that's taking it to another level, but at least he touched it in victory lane today.
Freak Nation coming up in about 15 minutes. Joseph Newgarden, your IndyCar Series winner here in the Freak Nation from Toronto. He'll be checking in, and we do it all Sunday night from the Lucas Oil Studios. Crasher, Statman, you got phobias, right? Statman, do you lose phobias at a certain age?
He clearly did. He lost his crab phobia.
Well, I don't think that's a phobia. That just scared Esless. You got crabs coming at you at freaking 4 years old. That's not a phobia. That's just a fear of freaking God, dang it. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do have I do have one phobia, and I kind of laughed when it came to mind during the break. Women named Beverly, and I've never known a Beverly who wasn't a flake. So whenever I hear the name Beverly, it's like, well, it's good to know you. See you later. You know, you move on to the next thing.
That is hilarious. Hold on. How did you finally figure out that the name Beverly just irked you or kind of was a phobia?
Well, it, you know, I just realized that, you know, I've been single a long time, and whenever I ran across somebody named Beverly, even when I was married, my ex-wife had a couple of friends named Beverly. Maybe that's what triggered it. And, you know, I mean, it just, I was at a restaurant one night, and there was a guy that was pleading with his date behind us. And he said her name was, he called her Beverly. And I had to fight the urge to turn around and said, dude, give it up. She ain't worth it.
Oh my God. All right. That's a new one to me. I've never known of someone to have a phobia of a name.
I mean, there's probably a name in your life that is, everyone you know who has that name is probably someone you wish wasn't in your life.
Well, yes, I do have a name that just drives me nuts and I just did not get along with throughout high school. However, so anybody with the name Jema, which of course it's not a very common name, Jema, I was just like, oh, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. However, since my, gosh, a little bit before my 25th high school anniversary or reunion, I should say, we mended fences and all is well in the world. So all Jemas are good again.
All of them? Do you know many?
No, she's the only one I know.
All right. Well, there you go. Jema is a female name?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know any Jemas. I know some J's, but I don't know any Jemas.
I don't know of really any phobias. I mean, yeah, I'm not a big fan of spiders, but I don't fear them. I'm not a big fan of snakes, but I don't necessarily fear them. So I'm having a hard time coming up with an actual phobia.
Is a phobia something that makes you ill?
Well, it can. Something panic attacks.
You have an aversion to, or you're an irrational fear of. That's, those are phobias. So I don't know if I have an irrational fear of Beverly's. I have an aversion to them, that's for sure.
The most common phobias, I'm sure, are arachnophobia, the fear of spiders. And what's it called when you do fear snakes? Ophidophobia?
I don't know. Snakeophobia, I guess.
And then, of course, I mean, we fly all the time, so we see all these people with fear of flying. How does that get into someone's brain? I don't get that.
Well, the same way that people have a fear of going outside or a fear of water or a fear of anything. It's just, I don't know if it's something that's wound in your DNA or some fear. I know some people, you know, they were probably afraid when they were a child, like me and the crabs. Maybe they were afraid of something that went bump in the night, so they have to sleep, even if they're, when they're an adult, they have to sleep with the light on.
But you talk to people who have phobias of flying. In fact, we know a dude here in Phoenix where he has fears of flying. He'll get on planes, he'll start sweating. And I said, well, what's the problem, bro? He goes, I just have a fear. I said, explain to me, did something happen? No. It's not as if there was a emergency landing or something happened as a kid. It just developed.
Well, he doesn't probably necessarily know that. He might have had a dream as a kid. And how are we supposed to go back and figure that one out? But I mean, because typically phobias do develop when you are a child. And so maybe he just had a bad dream or he saw something on TV that he shouldn't have about a plane crash or something.
He doesn't know. I'm just telling you, he doesn't know the phobia that he has.
Well, some people say that a fear of flying is one of those things that falls into the area of a fear of being out of control. So if you don't have any control over what happens with the plane. So some people just don't like to be out of control. I know one time, I never realized this, but I was more than an adult when I had an MRI for a shoulder injury, and they rolled me into that little tunnel, And, you know, I was afraid of claustrophobia.
Oh.
And I put myself to sleep. And the guy, you know, they have little speakers in there. And they said, hey, you got to wake up. You got to be awake during this. And I said, well, you better finish this pretty quick because I'm coming out of here whether you take me out or not. And, you know, they finished it up right away. So, yeah, maybe that's why I haven't been able to get remarried again, because I'm claustrophobic even in relationship. Who the heck knows? What are we going through this for? Now I'm revealed more about Statman than maybe I want known.
Have a seat on the couch. This is the psychology of speed freaks.
Do you have a list of common phobias, Crasher, or maybe popular phobias?
Popular, hey.
That is just strange to say.
Okay. Pretty much we've talked about the most common ones. Excuse me, arachnophobia, of course, with spiders, ophidophobia, fear of snakes, acrophobia, fear of heights, aerophobia, fear of flying. The very next one, this makes no sense to me at all. Clearly, it exists because it's one of the top five, top six, cynophobia, fear of dogs.
What? How could you be afraid of a dog?
I know.
Oh,
that's
come
what
on.
I'm saying.
Easy. You're 2 years old. You get your face bit by a dog. What? I mean, what? You got your fear of a dog.
Well, all right. That's allowed. You know, I mean, but dogs are wonderful. I know you're cat
dogs
people.
Amazing.
But you're cat people, so I've never held that against you after 20 years of knowing each other.
Right.
We're cat people because we travel, and dogs need to be walked too often for us to travel on airplanes all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
But astrophobia, okay, and I think I had this as a kid. Astrophobia is the fear of thunder and lightning. Now I'm obsessed with thunder and lightning. I cannot wait to find a thunderstorm. I'm almost to the point of I'm really wanting to go on a storm chase with somebody one day soon. But when I was a kid, I was fearful of them. It took my dad... Well, he just basically forced me to sit out on our back patio to sit there and watch a lightning and thunder come in towards our house to basically maybe start to get over it. But yeah, that's a real fear.
So he actually force fed you a lightning storm.
You're gonna get over this, man. Get over
sit
it, damn it.
Me.
Wow.
Trypanophobia, the fear of injections. Yeah, I've heard of that.
All right, well, that's, I don't know about a phobia for that. I mean, that's just...
No, I've heard of some people that are like, I can't get shots. I can't. You just can't do it.
Wow.
And then, of course, social anxiety disorder, social phobia.
That's where I fit sometimes, I guess.
Listen to us. We're all lying down on the couch talking to each other about our damn phobias.
Mark on Twitter says, how about the fear of Formula E and the eradication of the internal combustion engine in motorsports? Well done, Mark. Because, of course, Formula E raced in New York City this weekend, and people are, well, yeah, a lot of people, many are excited for the future, but at the same time, Formula E is very quiet. It really does a number to your psyche if you're a motorsports fan. So, yeah, I get what he's saying.
Looking at all those empty seats at New Hampshire today, I would think there's a cup of phobia that people are afraid of NASCAR.
And you wonder why they're down to one date.
Hey, that's probably the smartest call they made this year. Well, at least for 2018, is changing up that schedule. Holy smokes, right?
Yeah, that didn't look
That's just painful. Wow.
Stan chimes in with a Trumpophobia.
Yeah, hey go. I figure Statman would like that one, right?
There's plenty of Hillary-phobias, too, so it goes both ways.
Holy smokes. You just look at the list of... And think about this. You know people that are in a profession that have a possible phobia that's tied to their profession. You follow me?
Well, yeah. Okay, what Stat just said, if he thinks he has maybe a minor form of social phobia, and there are times I think the same thing as well. However, we talk for a living. We do appearances for a living. We all have to be uppity for a living. So, yeah, there you go. Yet there are times when it's hard to do that.
Well, politicians have busophobia. They're always looking. They're afraid to walk by a bus because somebody might throw them under it.
Hey.
You are on it tonight, Steph.
Aren't we supposed to be out right now?
Well, it's up to you, Kenny. You're
His name is
the
Joseph Newgarden. Join us next, Speed Freaks Pits A and the Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
With 2.7 million miles of paved roads and 1.4 million miles of unpaved roads in the U.S., where will your Continental Tires take you? Continental Tires' new Terrain Contact AT is the ideal all-terrain tire for CUV, SUV, and light trucks and will get you where you need to go. Traction Plus technology gives you the durability to conquer dirt, gravel, and grass while also providing a quiet, comfortable ride on pavement. For more information, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what? You do.
If the grind, whine, and squeal of your vehicle's power steering makes you cringe each time you reach for the wheel, then grab Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak. Lucas' unique formula fixes most worn rack and pinions, pumps, and gearboxes, making them perform like new. Using Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak, you will find it eliminates squeals, seal leaks, and rough spots. And it's 100% guaranteed, so there's no reason to use anything but Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak.
Hey, cat owners, stop killing the earth. Yeah, you heard me right. You've done angelic work by rescuing cats from death row. Now do your part to save the planet. Dump your old clay litter, part of 8 billion pounds of waste clogging up landfills yearly, and go to catspotlitter.com. Order the all-natural, all-organic cat spot litter. It's made of 100% coconut, it's long-lasting, it eliminates odors, and only weighs 5 pounds. Oh, and delivered to your door for just $15 a month with free delivery. Hello? Look, unlike old, dusty, heavy clay litter that we're so used to, Cat Spot Litter's work is not over when the litter box needs to be changed. When your Cat Spot Litter has run its course, you dump it in your garden, your lawn, compost it. It contains natural nutrients and absorbs water. You've saved a cat's life. Now go save the planet at catspotlitter.com. Your cat will thank you, and the planet thanks you. Organic, odor-eliminating, and just 15 bucks a month. Catspotlitter.com.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind-the-scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsports' biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit lucasoilracing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV. Grab it and hold on tight.
The Coxville Blockers, the Albuquerque Chupacabras, and the Arizona Pricks? Yeah, we got your attention now, don't we? These aren't real sports teams, but they are some of the most creative and funny sports logo t-shirts from Awesome Sports Logos. Each team has a history and a meaning behind it, like the Akron Rubbers, the Boston Accents, or the Cape Cod Scrod. And these t-shirts are awesome, made with the highest quality, 100% cotton available, and are just stupid soft. Grab your favorite city's t-shirt now at AwesomeSportsLogos.com. That's AwesomeSportsLogos.com, and get awesome.
You are listening to Speed Freaks Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Freaks, the Freak Radio Network, at Speed Freaks on Twitter, the website speedfreaks.tv. Your winner from Toronto, IndyCar Series winner from Toronto, Joseph Newgarden, joining the Freaks. And I say this with tongue-in-cheek, almost a twisted ankle, Joseph Newgarden. That was a lousy way to end that race and jump on the nose of your car and almost go faceplant, dude.
Yeah, I'm not going to hear the end of it. You know, the good thing is I didn't face plant, so it would have probably been a much worse discussion if that happened. You know, just a bad dismount, right? You know, but I thought we gathered it up and we kept going. So, you know, it's okay. It's okay. We still, on the two car, we won the race, so it's okay. You know, it's slippery up here in Toronto. You got some mist going. You got stars in the car. It happens.
Joseph Newgarden, throughout your career, I don't care what series you're running in, when you won a race, just before you won the race, have you thought about how you're going to celebrate?
No, you know, normally not. No, you're very focused in on trying to execute. You know, whenever you're in the lead or you're trying to get the lead, you know, I don't think you really put much thought. I certainly don't put much thought into it. You know, you can have these little moments of images pop into your mind, but you don't put a ton of thought into it. So you kind of just, you know, react in the moment. And, you know, for me, it's just about getting to victory lane and celebrating with the crew and, you know, trying to chat with them about, you know, the good day that we had.
Well, Joseph, are you a superstitious person? Because sometimes, you know, some people think if I pretend to know what I'm going to do, then I'll jinx it.
You know, I'm not. You know, I think it's impossible not to have some thoughts. So, you know, like I said, you sometimes get images that pop into your mind. You know, you can think about, you know, oh, what's victory lane going to look like? You know, things like that. But I try not to put too much thought into it. Not from a superstitious reason. It's just that, you know, I think you got to stay focused on the job at hand. You know, before it's done, you can't think about, you know, the afterthought. So, you know, I don't think a little bit of daydreaming is bad. You know, it doesn't make me superstitious, but I think just you got to really zone in and lock in on what you're doing to try and make sure you get the job done.
Joseph, you made an interesting comment in Victory Lane, and tell me if I misread it. In my opinion, I thought you sounded a little frustrated when you talked about how you've won at Toronto before, now you've won there again, same with Barber, won there before, won again this year, and that you need, or you feel like you need to win at another track soon to prove to others that, yes, you can do this elsewhere. Did I read that frustration right, or was it just a comment?
I don't think so. I mean, it was probably just, I think it's just an odd circumstance. You know, I think we've had podiums other places. We've been in contention to win at other tracks and, you know, something goes our way. I find it funny that we always get good luck in Toronto. It's crazy, you know, how we always seem to get the yellow workout for us here. And I don't know how you do that. I don't know if we paid someone off in Toronto or what happened, but, no, I don't think we need to really, I don't think we have to prove too much to anybody right now. So, I feel good about things. It's just, you know, it'll be nice to get another victory somewhere else where I haven't had it before with Team Penske. I think that'll be fun for us, and I'm excited to do that. We were close at Road America. I felt like we probably should have won that race, you know, if things fell our way a little differently, but I'm sure we're going to have plenty more good opportunities in the future.
Matt, actually, this is the most important question of the interview. Are you a Vanilla Ice fan?
A Vanilla Ice fan, you know? Ice Baby, you know, I'm down with that. I'm probably not like a super big aficionado for Vanilla Ice, but I got nothing against the guy.
The only reason I bring that up is you described this track in two different interviews this weekend as being like Ice Baby, and it's true. This is a tricky freaking track, but I just thought that was an interesting comparison. I'm like, I wonder if he is a Vanilla Ice fan.
Oh, you know, I think that was Elio, actually, that made the Ice Baby comment. But, you know, for me, yeah, they had asked me the question, you know, to try and describe this track to just, you know, everyday people that don't race cars and, you know, the conditions of it. And I said, you know, it's kind of like normal road conditions on entries with a bunch of speed bumps in front of you, and then you basically hit an ice lake in the middle of the track, and then you exit the corner on dirt. So that was my description of it, which still had some ice in it.
Oh, but right. IndyCar drivers aren't athletes. You do all that? What?
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, Toronto's probably the most difficult place that we go to, certainly street course-wise, to figure out the balance because of all the different surfaces. But you're working hard to figure it out.
Joseph Newgarden is the IndyCar winner at Toronto Sunday. Joseph, new names are getting into the victory circle. They're not new names from the series, but they're new names to be at the front of the line, names like yourself. What's happened to some of the older guys, the guys that have won in the past? What's happened? Is it technology? Are they getting old? What's happened to bring some of the young guys to the front of the line?
Well, I think you got the most competitive series in the world, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, it's difficult for anyone to go on just a dominant tear where, you know, no one's even close to them. I don't think you can do that in IndyCar. You know, there's variables. You've got the cautions that play variables into the race. you know, everyone's up and down from a performance standpoint just because everyone's so close. You know, if you want to find the most competitive racing series in the world, I think you have to look at the Verizon IndyCar series. And, you know, that's not me trying to tell you a plug. It's just if you look at it week in and week out, it's extremely competitive. And really anyone across the grid, you know, whether it's drivers or teams, they're all capable of winning. So it's a difficult championship to master and to become the champion of. So that's, you know, sort of the benefit of it right now is people get to enjoy that. It doesn't become boring for who wins the races.
Again, Joseph Newgarden is in the Speed Freaks pits. Joseph, do you feel some warmth from some of the guys in the past who have won 2, 3, 4 championships? Are they welcoming you? Are they willing to accept the fact that maybe it's time for a change of the guard, a pass of the baton?
I don't think anyone has ever voluntarily wanting to give it up. But you know, they almost don't need to. They're the guys that have been quick in the past are just as quick. You know, guys like Elio or Scott, they've been around a long time and they've had a lot of success, but they don't slow down. You know, they're still just as quick as ever. So you certainly got a lot of new blood in there trying to mark their territory as well. But you know, the older guard, they're not going to go anywhere and they're not going to be any more easy to beat nowadays. So, I think you're getting a nice mix. You're getting a nice mix of guys that are veterans and a mix of guys that are new and trying to prove themselves still.
You know, and getting back to what Kenny was saying about the parity in IndyCar right now, it's good to see that because it's guys winning from all ages as well. Guys winning from all nationalities, all ages. I mean, I just get so freaking frustrated that IndyCar doesn't have better ratings. And IndyCar, the attendance at Toronto was amazeballs. But how, you know, things are not better for IndyCar right now. It doesn't make sense to me. It can't make sense to you as a driver.
Well, you know, there's a lot of variables that come into play. And I think we're always trying to, you know, figure out the best way to reach a larger audience. But, you know, we have a very loyal fan base that's been with IndyCar for a long time. And, you know, I think there's opportunities in the future that will, you know, hopefully expand the horizons for the series and bring more eyeballs to our sport. You know, we're not missing anything from the competition side, that's for sure. You know, we've got a great mix of talent, you know, competition between drivers and teams. I think, you know, entertaining races. So, you know, there's a lot of ingredients to it, but for sure, we hope to reach a bigger audience at some point too. And I think we'll get there. You know, we have a great base. We have a great audience that we already reach. But, you know, reaching more, that's certainly our goal over the next couple of years.
And, Joseph, you still have your cat, right, your rescue cat?
You know, Simba's with my sister. He's been living there for the last couple of years, so she takes great care of him.
Okay, because I remember there was a tweet. I'm trying to get some personality in here with you because people need to know who Joseph Newgarden is. You rescued this cat. Obviously, your sister has it now, but you never liked touching the cat food?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. We played these games called Penske games where we made videos, basically, and there was this one video where it was a mystery box and there was all sorts of mysterious items inside the box that we had to figure out what they were. And one of mine was cat food. So, you know, from the outside, you never know what it is. When you touch something that's like a little bit slimy, you have no idea what you're touching and it can kind of freak you out. So, pretty entertaining, but yeah, no, that wasn't, it was just a video series that we did with Team Penske.
Attaboy. Joseph Newgarden joining the Freaks. Congratulations. It's a big win for you in Toronto, buddy.
Hey, thank you, guys. Yeah, appreciate it.
See ya. Yeah, we're hammering dudes about their lobsters, and now we're hammering dudes about cat food, Statman. What the hell is this? Is this like Dr. Phil for motorsports?
Tonight it is, yeah.
Wow. Joseph Newgarden, your IndyCar Series winner from Toronto, joining Speed Freaks in the Lucas Oil Studios. And you look at that crowd, Stat. It's not lost on us that, you know, Toronto, if you compare Toronto to U.S. cities, it's like third or fourth of population. And you look at those stands on every corner, sold out. So they're jammed. Let's just leave it to you that way.
Well, again, I think it was when the Paul Tracy was at the top of the line and top of the ladder in the series. And I think he's from Toronto originally. At least he was a favorite son in Canada. And the people flocked to it, and they just bought into it. I know one guy who lives in Toronto, done some video production work with him, and they love the thing. And he doesn't care that much about motorsports, but it's a happening. It's not a race. It's an event. It's a happening.
And that's what we've done. I've been the promoter for Long Beach Grand Prix for all these years. That's what the Long Beach Grand Prix's done. It's the race is almost secondary. Same thing with golf tournaments, PGA golf tournaments, the Byron Nelson. It was always about the after party. Here in Phoenix for the Waste Management Open, the golf is freaking secondary. I guess that's just, is that where, that's, if you go back and think about this, that's really where it is. You've got to have an attraction outside of the actual event that's going on. And we've talked about this in length, Stat, man, where the NHRA, you've got drag racing all day, yet when the big boys go down, people head to the pits. But you've got to have things in the pits, Statman, to keep their interest. And I guess this is where it has to go. Speaking of interest, we were talking about this in between a text thread, the X Games. When the X Games hit and started to really, really get in people's consciousness, it was about the parties outside of Staples. It was about the party outside of Home Depot arena, whatever they call it, whatever they're calling it now. But now, Stat, it's gone by the wayside. So it's not about the party, evidently, for X Games, but it certainly is for Toronto.
It was also, speaking of X Games, it was also about the stars, and those stars are largely gone now. And instead of selling the sports, they were selling the stars, and there's a problem when those people graduate.
Yeah. So you just think about this, Freak Nation, whether it's Texas Motor Speedway or it's Sonoma, Phoenix Raceway, I don't care where it is, you got yourself a race. Drag racing, Cup, IndyCar, you've got something that really has to piggyback with that to entertain the 18, 19, to entertain the 12-year-olds that are there with their moms and dads. And Long Beach Grand Prix, they it's grown exponentially over the last 25, 30 years. You walk in the gate, Statman, you're inundated by smells of of food and cigar, and then, of course, there's the exhaust of the cars. Then you walk inside the convention center there, and you got another 30, 45 minutes to spend there. Then, again, oh, yeah, there's a damn race.
Yeah, we've been to parties on boats, and you almost forget about the race, and then, oh, the noise will hit you. Said, oh, yeah, you look for a minute, then you go back to whatever you were doing.
You also look at the people watching, and I've been to the Waste Management Open a couple of times here in Phoenix, and the actual golf event, professional golfers out there in the course, great course, awesome course, it might even be third tier when it comes to why you're there. It's about the party. Number two, it's about the people and the people that attend this event. And some of the things they wear, some of the things they do, how drunk they are, what they're doing outside the ropes off the course. It's incredible. How in the hell we got down this rabbit hole, but it's...
I'm keeping an eye on the clock because at some point we're going to pass the alarm phase of this hole.
Now, we got about a minute and a half, and again, that's why I'm bringing in a little bit of deeper conversation in regards to the parties that actually go on at these events. And I've never been to the Toronto Grand Prix, but all I see are full freaking stands, and it can't just be that two-hour race on the track that's occupying those people's times. And you hit the nail, Statman, with Long Beach Grand Prix or some other events that you've been to. It's just that's where we are now as a in motorsports. And you look at NASCAR, who has forced themselves to be able to occupy people's times, whether it's them sitting in the stands actually for four freaking hours. They better have their ass occupied in some form or fashion, digitally, sitting in the stands. In fact, talking with Phoenix International Raceway, or Phoenix Raceway as they're going to be called, it is going to be state of the art with what they're about to do, or with what they're doing with Phoenix Raceway. And a lot of it has to do with the digital process that they're bringing inside the walls of that speedway and how they expect to be able to entertain people outside of that race that's going on in front of them for 3.5, 4 hours, depending on what's going on. They've got the development with their digital system technology that they're not one NASCAR stadium has it in the lower 48. Not one has it. So looking forward to Phoenix International Raceway with what they're about to do with the madness that is Phoenix Race. Mark my word, it's Phoenix Raceway. It's no longer Phoenix International Raceway. And we're also told there might be some news coming out of Phoenix. Coming up next hour, more from Denny Hamlin and Joseph Newgarden, your IndyCar Series winner. Coming up Speed Freaks Pits and the Lucas Oil Studio.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Radio Network, broadcasting from the Lucas Oil Studios.
Driven by General Tire.
And powered by 1-800-LOAN-MART.
Get cash fast when you need it.
It's Speed Freaks. Motorsports Radio, redefined. With Kenny Sargent.
We love to party.
Crash Gladys.
What are we doing for the bachelorette party?
And Stepman.
I am serious.
Here's the Freaks.
Second hour, Speed Freaks, Kenny Sargent, Crash Gladys, Statman. You missed the end of the show. Go to the website, speedfreaks.tv. We'll hear more from Denny Hamlin, your NASCAR Cup winner from New Hampshire, coming up this hour. Also, Joseph Newgarden, IndyCar Series winner from Toronto. He'll be here in the Freak Nation again. Phobias, schmobias, Denny Hamlin, does he have one? And sounds like Joseph Newgarden has one for cat food. We'll explain coming up. Another thing I want to hit is there's talk out there about James Hinchcliffe getting into a NASCAR stock car. Yeah, James Hinchcliffe, the runner-up when it comes to your Dancing with the Stars. Oh, yeah, he's an IndyCar Series driver. So, yeah, there's talk about James Hinchcliffe at least getting into a road course with the Xfinity Series. How he'd like to do it sooner rather than later. Talk about that. And Statman, do you recall, it was probably in February when there was some discussion about how Dodge was looking to get back into NASCAR Cup because the books were now balanced. Do you recall a conversation like that?
No, but, and I doubt that that'll be the case. What do they have to gain from getting back involved?
Well, the dude who took over, and I still can't say his name for the life of me, our Italian madman, who took over for Fiat Chrysler back in February, was talking about a little bit of interest about getting back into stock cars. Well, that's been squashed because of what Statman said right there, the return of investment, but more importantly, how much money it would take to get involved, to get themselves back involved and up to speed in NASCAR Cup.
Just ask Toyota.
Yeah.
They spent so much. I don't have the figures in front of me, but it's absurd. Absurd amounts of money.
Yeah, so if there was any inkling in your mind, Freak Nation, you think Dodge might get back involved with Cup, evidently that's been squashed. James Hinchcliffe, Crasher, is that one of those where wouldn't you want to see Hinchcliffe get a taste of a road course in a stock car?
Absolutely. But I love seeing drivers cross over into all different disciplines anyway. So, yeah, I'm probably not the one to ask. Because, of course, I'm going to say yes. But it makes sense, though, if he doesn't. What's the Xfinity race that's up in Canada? Because, duh, he's a Canadian. That's where it would make the most sense.
Yeah. You could certainly
Isn't it Quebec?
No.
Yeah, it's in Canada.
No, they do have a standalone Xfinity race at Road America. I don't think they have one in Canada, though. If it would be, it would be at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park.
I have it right here in front of
me.
Here it is. James Hinchcliffe talking about getting involved in stock cars. Canadian, there it is. We come up, yeah, NASCAR's Infinity Series. And as he said, as I said earlier, he'd rather do it sooner than later. Mid-Ohio is where he expressed interest, if he does get a chance, will be running the Xfinity race in Mid-Ohio. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Well, he's good at that track.
Yeah. So he'd certainly have success there. Coming up in moments, your Statman Scat. And something that I do want to talk a little bit about your Scat, Stat, and I don't want to blow it up right now, but again, Global Rallycross, at one time, there was a lot of talk about how it was going to be that next series to occupy a lot of 18 to 24-year-olds and 35-year-olds. But coming up in Statman Scat, there's some discussion in there that if you're a global rallycross fan, you probably want to listen to the Statman Scat. Again, the website, speedfreaks.tv, on Twitter, at speedfreaks. You got a phobia? You have a real hardcore phobia. Flying, spiders, snakes, crowds. Well, Denny Hamlin's got one for lobsters. We talked to him about that, and we'll get more from Denny Hamlin after his win in New Hampshire. And evidently, Joseph Newgarden, he has a phobia with cat food. Cat food. What the hell kind of game was that that he was talking about, Crasher?
The Penske games. It is pretty funny. They all had to blindly, was it blindly? Yeah, they had to blindly put together a die-cast car as well. That was really good.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'd like to welcome in our new freaking affiliates here in the Freak Nation. Second Hour Speed Freaks. Thank you guys for being a part of this big old thing. Statman, Crash Gladys, Kenny Sargent. And again, the website, speedfreaks.tv. How about we jump into a little bit of Statman Scat? Do I have that thing ready to go? Daggone it. No, I don't. In fact, I don't have the thing ready to go. We're going to get to that coming up. Your Statman Scat involved with Global Rallycross. Yeah, let's do some more pit news and notes, Crash Mahone, Gladys, right?
Let's do it. And in case you hear another voice behind me, Little Freak Henley is trying to chime in. She was a fan of X Games this weekend, their first time in Minneapolis. Let's talk about motorsports categories. Levi Sherwood doubling up in golds, Moto X Freestyle and Moto X Best Trick. Jared McNeil in Step Up, Sammy Halbert, gold in Flat Track. And today, Colby Raha taking the gold in Moto X Quarterpipe. Of course, for all results, go to xgames.com. NASCAR raced over there in Loudoun, New Hampshire. Kyle Busch dominating the Xfinity race, and his teammate, Denny Hamlin, taking the win in Cup. It is safe to say, finally, Joe Gibbs Racing is back. And IndyCar, we talked about cat food phobia man Joseph Newgarden taking the win. He's now fourth in points, of which points just got all crazy today with, gosh, Will Power crashing out first, Dixon and Ray Hall having issues. But Joseph Newgarden, the winner, nothing else matters right now.
Crash Class Pit News and Notes brought to you by good friends at Continental Tire. You log on to ContinentalTire.com to find the righteous rubber for your righteous ride. Statman, did you have a chance to watch the Formula One race?
Of course. That's one of the things I'll stop my day, even though it is in the middle of the morning, to watch the Formula One race.
Because I want to get into a little bit of that. The thing that was trending on Twitter, and I didn't see the race, but I read a number of these stories. I'm not sure really if they even discussed it. On the broadcast, but they were, what I kept reading on Twitter was how Lewis Hamilton was constantly looking at Vettel's race. And it's just really following part and parcel of what Vettel was doing. Did they mention this at all today during the race?
They didn't mention it a lot, but he's chasing Vettel for the championship. I mean, why wouldn't he? He wants to know where he was. Way out in front, he led every lap, and if he had anything to worry about, it would be the guy that he's chasing. And it turns out that Vettel had blew a tire on the last lap and went from the podium to like sixth place. So now Lewis is 1 point out of the leading the championship. So going to be
Freak
close.
Nation. Coming up next, more Formula One conversation, and Denny Hamlin next. Speed Freaks Pitch, Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
No matter how big your car or truck is, nothing in your engine takes more abuse than its oil. But with Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer, your engine oil will last longer to do the job it was designed to do. Protect your engine and offer peak performance. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer eliminates dry starts, lowers engine temperatures, and prolongs the life of your oil up to 50%. Don't let your engine be caught dead without the protection and performance of Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer.
What's up? It's Kenny Sargent. For my motorsports fix, bam, I turn it on MAV TV. MAV TV, a network loaded with car and motorcycle shows, motorsports events, and exclusive automotive reality shows like Full Custom, Bridge Wars. What about drag boats? They got them. Off-road, sprint cars, Pro Pulling League, motocross, they're all on MAV TV. It's the answer for those jonesing, looking for some automotive action. Don't get MAV TV? Call your local provider and get it. Check them out at MAVTV.com on Twitter and Facebook. MAV TV is motorsports.
Hey, cat owners, stop killing the earth. Yeah, you heard me right. You've done angelic work by rescuing cats from death row. Now do your part to save the planet. Dump your old clay litter, part of 8 billion pounds of waste clogging up landfills yearly, and go to catspotlitter.com. Order the all-natural, all-organic cat spot litter. It's made of 100% coconut, it's long-lasting, it eliminates odors, and only weighs 5 pounds. Oh, and delivered to your door for just $15 a month with free delivery. Hello? Look, unlike old, dusty, heavy clay litter that we're so used to, Cat Spot Litter's work is not over when the litter box needs to be changed. When your Cat Spot Litter has run its course, you dump it in your garden, your lawn, compost it. It contains natural nutrients and absorbs water. You've saved a cat's life. Now go save the planet at catspotlitter.com. Your cat will thank you, and the planet thanks you. Organic, odor-eliminating, and just $15 a month. Catspotlitter.com.
With 2.7 million miles of paved roads and 1.4 million miles of unpaved roads in the U.S., where will your Continental Tires take you? Continental Tires new Terrain Contact AT is the ideal all-terrain tire for CUV, SUV, and light trucks, and will get you where you need to go. Traction Plus technology gives you the durability to conquer dirt, gravel, and grass, while also providing a quiet, comfortable ride on pavement. For more information, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what? You do.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind the scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsports' biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit lucasoilracing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV. Grab it and hold on tight.
You're listening to Speed Freaks Motorsports Radio Redefined.
In life, the concept of class is pretty difficult to define, but you know it when you see it. The Red Bull Global Rallycross Series made its first visit to the Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis this weekend. Scott Speed won with his Andretti Volkswagen teammate Tanner Faust, finishing second. We've already talked about the problems in the GRC. Manufacturer support is down, sponsor support is down, driver entries are down. Exorbitant fees charged car makers is one reason. The costs approach $500,000 per season. Ford left the series last year, and now the Ford name isn't even listed among the drivers who run Ford Fiestas in the series. Volkswagen, Subaru, and Honda are all mentioned, but no Fords in the results. M-Sport, a Ford performance house in the UK, is on the website, but not the results. I guess those three drivers in Fiestas were on bicycles. Like I said, you know, class when you see it or don't. Peace.
You're back with the Freaks, the Freak Radio Network. Thank you guys for being a part of this big old thing. And I think you can hear in the background, you got some excitement. It's not just the damn driver. It's probably the family and friends. His name is Denny Hamlin, your NASCAR Cup winner from New Hampshire, joining the Freaks. And they talk about monkeys on backs. How about monkeys on corporations like Joe Gibbs Racing, Denny Hamlin? That some bitch is off now, bud.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I knew we had a good shot going into the weekend. All of our cars were fast. Unfortunately, you know, we had a backup car, and it wasn't as good as our primary, but it was good enough today, you know, with good execution to put ourselves in a position to win. And, you know, we did everything on that, you know, the last 30 laps to get the win.
Denny Hamlin, your Cup winner from New Hampshire, joining the Freaks. And drivers talk about there's times during the race when they know that they're going to win this thing. Was there a time maybe through the second half that you knew you had a shot to win it?
you know, really it was probably 20 to go. We had built up about a 2.5 second lead. Really at that point, I was just kind of managing my gap to Larson and making sure I didn't overdrive the corner, make sure I didn't make any big mistakes to allow him to creep in the picture. So, for me, it was kind of about, doing that. And I feel like, I did everything I needed to do to execute to get that victory.
Denny Hamlin, the expectations of Joe Gibbs Racing were huge at the beginning of the year, and it's been now until halfway through the season before some of those expectations were met. Why?
Well, really, there's been probably three cars that have been extremely fast every weekend, the 78 and the 42, being two of those. And we've been very close, but we just haven't had the speed that those guys have had realistically. We needed to get better. We did that. We got better. We closed the gap. But honestly, today was about executing and picking a car that probably could have finished second or third and making a race-winning car at the end.
And that's how it's done, Denny Hamlin. It's rare in the Cup Series that the fastest car wins. That just doesn't happen every week.
Yeah, that's why you've seen so many race winners is that the competition is so close, and we always talk about every week about it's hard to pass. Well, a lot of it is because we're all running the same speed. There is so much parity, so it's about who can get out front and get that done. And so today was our day. We put ourselves up front, and we accomplished it.
NASCAR winner from New Hampshire, Denny Hamlin, joins us here in the Freaks Pits. And, Denny, let's get to the important questions now. What in the world is up with your lobster phobia?
I just don't like lobsters, really never have. They kind of freak me out a little bit. So not really sure. It's probably the only thing I'm not that I am scared of.
But hold on. I just got a text from somebody right before you coming on with us saying, ask him about his lobster phobia. He doesn't even like to sit next to people who order lobster at dinner.
I just, for whatever reason, they freak me out. I just don't like looking at them for a lot of different reasons.
So, okay, what was the hardest thing today? Winning that GDM race or you actually holding a 44-pound lobster in victory lane?
Well, I leaned on my crew guys to, they like lobster. I don't, so I say throw them back in the sea where he came from and let him live, but I'm sure they won't let that happen.
All right, Danny, we'll end up with a couple of questions in regards to, you talk about execution. There's execution in NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. For a successful driver, team, crew chief, owner, what's the most important thing when it comes to successful execution to finally grab that checkered flag? Is there one thing in particular?
Well, I think it's just, don't make any mistakes. Everyone's so close, like we talked about earlier, in speed that you have to be the guy that doesn't make mistakes. I think the 18 had a couple speeding penalties today. 78 had a tire issue. So we had to just make sure that we didn't make mistakes. We had at times the second, third place fastest car. So it was up to us. We were going to win. We needed them to make a mistake and us capitalize, and that's what we did.
Denny Hamlin, your New Hampshire winner, joining the Freaks. And Denny, Joe Gibbs, his championships are numerous. We know that. But also in NASCAR, it's important for sponsors to be recognized. And putting FedEx there in the winner's circle is so important for the business side of Joe Gibbs Racing. What does this do for Joe Gibbs from an emotional standpoint?
Well, it's obviously big for our organization. It locks us in the playoffs. And, the 18's in a very good spot to be in the playoffs. And so the 20 is battling. He's battling his way into the playoff picture as well. So we're, you never know what can happen. Like I said, 2 months ago, once we win one race, we're liable to win two or three in a row. So our organization could get hot at any moment.
Okay. I know Kenny said that was the last, but hold on. How many pounds of confetti did your daughter grab?
A lot. Definitely loves confetti, and she's more excited about that than any kind of trophy. So, yeah, it's the simple things that keep her entertained.
Denny Hamlin, your winner for New Hampshire, joining the Freaks. Denny, good luck, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And again, DH from last hour joining Speed Freaks from the Lucas Oil Studios. You missed Joseph Garden. We'll get some more Joseph Garden coming up this hour. You go to the website, speedfreaks.tv.
Wow, New Garden.
What did I say?
Joseph Garden? Yeah. Joseph Nuevo Jardin.
Yeah. Hey, Stabman, to get back to your scat in regards to the Global Rallycross, Is this a big disappointment where the series hasn't grown to where many anticipated from a manufacturer's standpoint?
I think the manufacturers are disappointed. I was told when they had the test events, is I thought they were going to have two-wheel drive as well as four-wheel drive, and they were going to maybe have Mustangs and Camaros or something. And literally, somebody got right in my face and pointed a finger and said, no, this isn't about that. This is about little cars and showing their performance. That's what they wanted to do. They had no idea that it was going to cost so much money. They build these cars, and they're spending a half to three quarters of $1 million just to put the car on the track. Then they tear it up at the first turn for a couple of years. They've kind of calmed that down a little bit now, but it's just too expensive. So now they have only 10 drivers that show up, and there's no competition, really, and they've only got a couple of stars and only one major team, Andretti Autosport, with Volkswagen. So Subaru is they're a little better this year, but they're kind of not in it. And Honda is trying, but they're not keeping up with the Volkswagens. So Ford left last year, and now so nobody is paying this special monies, $500,000 or more that they want for marketing the series. Ford didn't pay it, so they got problems. They got real problems, and they solved that by not mentioning Ford. Pretty silly.
Which is a shame, because that's a series that had so much potential, still does. But, yeah, they got to get their costs controlled. I mean, this was a series that was bringing over World Rallycross drivers for a while and attracting some pretty decent names from around the world. And now it's just not. It's what exactly was it that made Global Rallycross just kind of start to fail?
Well, a major thing is the FIA made a World Rallycross Championship that traveled all over the world, including Canada.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
They haven't come to the United States yet, but I'm told by friends that are in that series that they're looking for the right time and the right spot on the calendar to come and be in the United States. And they have major names in that series, like Petter Solberg and Sebastian Loeb. So right now in the Global Rallycross, the two major names are Scott Speed and Tanner Faust. And everybody else is, you got to be a super fan. Brian Deegan's gone. You know, they got a lot of names that have left the series. So they've got a real problem. And I think whenever Red Bull says that's enough, then the whole thing goes away.
Was that part of the issue of them not being in the X Games?
Yeah, when Red Bull took it over, and Red Bull is more associated with NBC, why is ABC going to do something that's promoting a show that you're going to see on NBC? So that immediately went away. They tried Super Trucks, and that didn't evidently it didn't have the same kind of appeal. The Rallycross in X Games was second only to skateboarding that the fans bought into. So when the Rallycross wasn't there, X Games started to lose some of its appeal.
Speaking of, coming up next, where have you gone, X Games? That's next, Speed Freaks Pits and Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Speed Freaks on a Sunday night. The website, speedfreaks.tv. Statman, Crash Gladys, Kenny Sargent. Thank you guys for hanging out. You know, we talked a little bit about X Games in the show, and you go back to when we started this 17 years ago, and we were big for X Games in general, and then we did our best to have two or three X Games athletes on prior to the event, and then winners the night of.
Sometimes literally right off the podium, yeah. As well, at least back in the day, I should say. one of the moto events would be wrapping up as our show was going on, and literally they would pull them off the podium and shove a mic in their face. It was awesome for us.
But now, and again, Statman and Crasher and I were part of this little text stream earlier, and it's so true. It's just fallen off the map, and you wonder how much more ESPN is going to continue to dump into their X Games. Again, think about this. They have them around the world. If you had to look hard to find out where it was this year, if you weren't that familiar with X Games, knowing that it was in Minneapolis, it's not in Los Angeles every year like it was. It's in Minneapolis, meaning it's not in Austin, which it got decent ratings in Austin. But Crash, Stat, give me five athletes' names that anyone out there would recognize. Five. Stat, we could do five 10 years ago.
Oh, without question.
No, I can't do five now. I think that's the problem, is that they were promoting the names like Travis and Brian Deegan and, you know, the names that were synonymous with X Games. Colin McRae came over for the rally cross a little bit. Ken Block, Tanner Faust.
Tony Hawk, Dave Mira.
Yeah, right. Dave Mira. Yeah, these were major names that people had fans. They were fans of them. They weren't necessarily fans of the sport that they were involved in. And once they went away, how do you promote it? And if you're putting it all times of the year, all over the world, how do you keep track of it? You know, it used to be in Los Angeles at a certain time of the year, and you could follow it, but now that's not the case.
That's exactly what I think kind of started the downfall of X Games, is having all these events around the world is nice, but it does take away from having one big event every year in one central location.
And you look at really where they are with the number of events that they have. As you mentioned, Statman, they had, what was the truck series they called? What did they call
Stadium
it?
Stadium Super Trucks, Robbie Gordon's.
Yeah, Stadium
series.
Super Truck. Yeah. And that evidently fell on deaf ears because it didn't come back. Something that they're really trying to hook up now is esports. Esports, exactly. Esports, it's part of the X Games.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's.
Wait, seriously?
That just doesn't. That doesn't compute. I mean, I can appreciate esports, but the whole premise of X Games was to have people do things that nobody else could do, a triple backflip, you know, all the stuff that they did in freestyle motocross. Wow. And maybe I'm just not a big enough fan to appreciate a triple backflip compared to a million point score in a video game.
Yet at the same time, go back and look when X Games started. The battle that we had with people sounded similar to what you're saying, Stat, about men and women on skateboard, men and women on inline skates. Really? 720 on a skateboard, who cares?
Yeah, and there was one guy that did, oh, I can't remember his name, but he got into his 40s and he was still doing it on a skateboard with the big half pipe and the big jump and everything. I think he was from
Big Air.
Big Air, yeah. I think he was, I don't know if he was from the United States or not, but he was huge. And, you know, once these guys get older, they go to other things, they get families, and you know, they want to make money. They have to support their families, and they get a different lifestyle. And like, unless you're Tony Hawk, you got to go to get a job, maybe.
That or open up a clothing line that can feed half of freaking America, which that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. You go back to, and I did this. I did this earlier today. Excuse me. Where you go back to the original X Games. The inaugural X Games were held in 1995. Do you remember where, Statman?
The original X Games.
Mm-hmm.
No. Wait a minute. Yeah, they had one
San
early
Fran
one.
Philly, right?
Yeah, they had one early one in San Francisco. They had an early one in Cleveland, I think, too. I don't know if that was the first one, but they had one early in Cleveland because I shook my head and said, what are they doing?
Newport, Rhode Island, the hotbed for X Games.
Oh, wait, I do remember it was Rhode Island. That's crazy.
And you go back and look at some of the original, this is the greatness. You go back to some of the original events. You have, well, no, these are the current events. I'm sorry about that. You have the Street Luge. That was one of the original. You had bobsled freestyle. You had, remember you had surfing? Surfing was part of X Games when it was out in Los Angeles originally.
I remember being upset when they took it off. Yeah, I loved watching the surfing events.
You had skateboard street beating, in skateboard street is what they called it, a guy named Chris Sin who beat Tony Hawk in 1995. Who the hell is Chris Sin? I have no idea. But you have a dude named Bob Perea who won gold in street luge after injuring his right leg during qualifying. Yeah. Oh, here's a name for you might remember. Matt Hoffman. Yeah, Matt Hoffman takes the first gold in BMX Vert. And a dude who got into the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series, Robert Fig Naughton, wins gold in the dual downhill mountain bike race. Dave Mira in 1996 in BMX Street. Joey Garcia was a big name. Matt Hoffman. X Games 2, that was in 96 in Providence and Newport. X Games 3, San Diego in 97. Listen to this. X Games 4, Mission Beach. And then X Games 5, Statman Crasher was the one that you guys were talking about in San Francisco. Holy smoke. Some of these names aren't. Of course, it was. And for so many years, it was back and forth on skateboard between Andy McDonald and his mentor, Tony Hawk.
Yep, there's another name, Andy McDonald.
The first professional sporting event, full event, broadcast live on the internet, was X Games 5, 1999.
Hmm. Whoa. And that was the San Fran one.
Yeah. Yes. And that's the famous, the 900, when Tony Hawk landed the 900, the first time it's ever been done. And Tony Hawk did that in San Francisco. Was that the same? That had to be the same
and
year.
If Twitter was around then, it would have broken.
That had to be the same year where Travis Pastrana flipped his bike into
the water.
Into
yeah,
the bay, right.
No, was that San Fran or was that? Why do I want to say Philly?
No, it was San Fran.
Okay,
no, it was San Francisco, absolutely. But you go back and look at some of these names and the attendance. It was incredible. It was just something new. Even Mike Metzger, our man, got himself a gold back in 2002.
Yeah, and I think that's important. That one, it was new. And a lot of the people that were coming in, they bought their own fan bases with them. And that's what gave it the impetus to grow like it did. And then it got wild. And some might argue that bringing cars and rallycross into the deal helped, you know, get it unfocused where instead of skateboards and so forth. But it was popular, and the car stuff was second only to skateboards, and but you know it went away. I tend to think it was because the stars went to do other things, and there was nobody else to come along after them.
Freak Nation coming up in moments. His name is Joseph Newgarden. Joseph Newgarden got himself a win at Toronto in the IndyCar Series. He's going to be joining us. And a little bit more conversation in regards to the X Games. Got names like Nate Adams, Danny Way, Jeremy McGrath. How about Ryan Scheckler, Brian Deegan? Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? It's nuts. More Speed Freaks Spits and the Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind-the-scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsports' biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit LucasOilRacing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV. grab it, and hold on tight.
With 2.7 million miles of paved roads and 1.4 million miles of unpaved roads in the U.S., where will your Continental Tires take you? Continental Tires' new Terrain Contact AT is the ideal all-terrain tire for CUV, SUV, and light trucks and will get you where you need to go. Traction Plus technology gives you the durability to conquer dirt, gravel, and grass while also providing a quiet, comfortable ride on pavement. For more information, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what? You do.
Looking for more performance out of your car or truck? Looking to do it without breaking the bank? Then look no further than Lucas Octane Booster. Just one little bottle can increase the boost from your turbocharger while promoting a clean fuel burn for lower emissions. Lucas Octane Booster is a genuine engine performance enhancer that is safe for turbos, oxygen sensors, and catalytic converters. It stops the knocks while raising MPG in high compression engines. Not bad from one little red bottle.
Hey, cat owners, stop killing the earth. Yeah, you heard me right. You've done angelic work by rescuing cats from death row. Now do your part to save the planet. Dump your old clay litter, part of 8 billion pounds of waste clogging up landfills yearly, and go to catspotlitter.com. Order the all-natural, all-organic cat spot litter. It's made of 100% coconut, it's long-lasting, it eliminates odors, and only weighs 5 pounds. Oh, and delivered to your door for just $15 a month with free delivery. Hello? Look, unlike old, dusty, heavy clay litter that we're so used to, Cat Spot Litter's work is not over when the litter box needs to be changed. When your Cat Spot Litter has run its course, you dump it in your garden, your lawn, compost it. It contains natural nutrients and absorbs water. You've saved a cat's life. Now go save the planet at catspotlitter.com. Your cat will thank you, and the planet thanks you. Organic, odor-eliminating, and just 15 bucks a month. Catspotlitter.com.
Are you tired of all the hassles that come with just shining your tires? Introducing the No Mess Tire Dressing Applicator. No mess on the rim, no harmful chemicals on your hands. Simply spray your favorite dressing on the specially formulated foam and apply with precision. Then store it away in its own unique case for quick and easy cleanup. Get four No Mess applicators now for only $9.99 at buynomess.com.
You're listening to Speed Freaks Motorsports Radio Redefined.
Freaks on a Sunday night. Thank you guys for being a part of it. Statman, I think this is the song that Guns N' Roses wrote for you and women named Beverly.
I had to put up 6 feet under, and I can still hear her complain.
Don't you think that, don't you think Guns N' Roses wrote that song for you and women named Beverly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Me and Axel go way back.
Oh, man. Freak Nation coming up in moments. Highlights from our Joseph Newgarden interview, IndyCar Series winner. But real quick, a couple more minutes on the X Games. I mentioned those names like Jeremy McGrath, a guy who, seven-time Supercross champion, arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Supercross rider ever. Danny Way, Sean White, Jamie Bestwick, Travis Pastrana. A guy like Ryan Scheckler in 2003.
Scheckler was huge.
13 yeah. years old. The youngest ever at the time to win a gold medal. 13. Where are those guys now? Are we just out of touch?
That was going to be my next question. Is it us? Because, I mean, those are all the names that we grew up X with. And now that none of them are there, and we just didn't stick around to follow X Games. It very well could be us. I mean, heck, we're the ones that are saying, why esports?
Yeah, well, I just sent you a link to something with Brian Deegan's daughter, Hallie, who's more interested in NASCAR than she is riding a motorcycle. So,
yeah, that's very interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's... No, go ahead.
No, I just wonder... I don't want to say this because Brian Deegan has made a ton of money with Metal Militia, with freestyle motocross, with off-road racing... He's created an amazing empire in and of itself. But I just wonder if why does Hallie Deegan not want to stay in off-road where she's already won a championship or go into something, like you said, with bikes that she knows very well? Yeah, why NASCAR? Is Brian kind of pushing her in that direction because the money is so good? Or at least it used to be.
Why do we question it? If she wants to go NASCAR, why not?
You're right. You're right. We shouldn't question it.
I mean, it may not be our favorite motorsport, but hell, you know. If Hillary wants going to chess, going to chess. Would I rather her be a freaking international female soccer star or, you know, LPGA star? Should she take care of her old man's eventual drinking habits, that man? Hell yes.
Well, she could be a left-handed pitcher as long as she could throw 105 and make $350 million every 5 years.
We caught up with Joseph Newgarden last hour. Got himself a big win in Toronto for the IndyCar Series. Scott Dixon still leads in points, but there's a number of winners this year in the IndyCar Series, which is fantastic for any sport. I don't care if it's football or IndyCar Series. It's awesome when you have different winners. But something that he did after his win is the dude almost tripped up and broke his freaking ankle. Got on the nose of the car and almost pulled a triple in. Yeah, almost pulled a triple Lindy there, Joseph Newgarden. But that's all right. It's you look at really what you did, and you think, Joseph? I mean, Crasher, when you see things like that, guys that after a win, we've seen it when it comes to the NFL, where after a win, it's almost what happens after the win, that's the story.
It's the bigger story. Well, the thing, yeah. I mean, he almost had a face plant. He almost busted his ankle. He could have gotten his foot stuck in the suspension pieces of the front part of his nose. Oh, it could have been a nightmare, but it wasn't. He won the race. All is fine and dandy again in Newgarden land. But it was pretty funny, you have to admit.
Statman, what's the first thing that comes to your... You know what the first thing that comes to my mind was, and I can't think of the kicker for the life of me. He was kicking for Tampa Bay after he kicked a game-winning field goal. And then he sprung his freaking, what did he pulled his freaking.
Well, he hyperextended his leg and tore some like ACL or something and missed the rest of the season. I mean, it's a huge loss. There've been several guys that have done that and they just went down the tubes. Their careers just stopped.
Shouldn't laugh, but it's, yeah, imagine that. I don't know. It's anything can happen at any given moment, but to kind of think that you're about to slip on your own car, that's just weird.
Well, there was a lot of moisture in the air, but still, if you're going to do something exciting, you should know what you're doing. I mean, we're talking about X Games and guys doing triple backflips and 360 degree spins on a motorcycle and jumping that standing jump that you mentioned, going 25 feet in the air, 30 feet in the air. They knew what they were doing, and that was part of the appeal of X Games, just watching some insanity and the guy doing stuff that's never been done before.
That man, you just hit on it right there. That's another potential reason for X Games decline, is that we were seeing things that had never been done before. Travis Pastrana and his double backflip, and just like Kenny said, the 900 with Tony Hawk. We were seeing things that had not been done before, and suddenly they're being done. But then it's like, what's next? You can't. Well, I just said Pastrana on a double backflip. I meant a backflip. But yeah, you can't do a double is the thing. So it's like, yeah. Did we just get it all out, all the tricks out, and now there's nothing to be done ever again?
Well, maybe the guys that would do that, would try that stuff, are gone. The Deegans, Pastranas, and all the people that did that stuff.
I'm sure there's huge daredevils left.
They just, people just freaking wised up. They don't like compressions in the back of, they don't like being in a freaking wheelchair by the time they're 25, damn it. Joseph Newgarden, of course, IndyCar Series winner. We're talking about his little slip on the nose. And Joseph, how's that wing, or excuse me, how's that ankle doing after slipping off that nose cone?
It's okay. It's okay. We still, on the two car, we won the race, so it's okay. It's slippery up here in Toronto. You got some mist going. You got stars in the car. It happens.
Joseph Newgarden, throughout your career, I don't care what series you're running in, when you won a race, just before you won the race, have you thought about how you're going to celebrate?
No, you know, normally not. No, you're very focused in on trying to execute. You know, whenever you're in the lead or you're trying to get the lead, you know, I don't think you really put much thought. I certainly don't put much thought into it. You know, you can have these little moments of images pop into your mind, but you don't put a ton of thought into it. So you kind of just, you know, react in the moment. And, you know, for me, it's just about getting to victory lane and celebrating with the crew and, you know, trying to chat with them about, you know, the good day that we had.
Well, Joseph, are you a superstitious person? Because sometimes, you know, some people think if I pretend to know what I'm going to do, then I'll jinx it.
You know, I'm not. You know, I think it's impossible not to have some thoughts. So, you know, like I said, you sometimes get images that pop into your mind. You know, you can think about, you know, oh, what's victory lane going to look like? You know, things like that. But I try not to put too much thought into it. Not from a superstitious reason. It's just that, you know, I think you got to stay focused on the job at hand. You know, before it's done, you can't think about, you know, the afterthought. So, you know, I don't think a little bit of daydreaming is bad. You know, it doesn't make me superstitious, but I think just you got to really zone in and lock in on what you're doing to try and make sure you get the job done.
Joseph, you made an interesting comment in Victory Lane, and tell me if I misread it. In my opinion, I thought you sounded a little frustrated when you talked about how you've won at Toronto before, now you've won there again, same with Barber, won there before, won again this year, and that you need, or you feel like you need to win at another track soon to prove to others that, yes, you can do this elsewhere. Did I read that frustration right, or was it just a comment?
I don't think so. I mean, it was probably just, I think it's just an odd circumstance. You know, I think we've had podiums other places. We've been in contention to win at other tracks and, you know, something goes our way. I find it funny that we always get good luck in Toronto. It's crazy, you know, how we always seem to get the yellow workout for us here. And I don't know how you do that. I don't know if we paid someone off in Toronto or what happened, but, no, I don't think we need to really, I don't think we have to prove too much to anybody right now. So, I feel good about things. It's just, you know, it'll be nice to get another victory somewhere else where I haven't had it before with Team Penske. I think that'll be fun for us, and I'm excited to do that. We were close at Road America. I felt like we probably should have won that race. You know, things fell our way a little differently, but I'm sure we're going to have plenty more good opportunities in the future.
Matt, actually, this is the most important question of the interview. Are you a Vanilla Ice fan?
A Vanilla Ice fan, you know? Ice Baby, you know, I'm down with that. I'm probably not like a super big aficionado for Vanilla Ice, but I got nothing against the guy.
The only reason I bring that up is you described this track in two different interviews this weekend as being like Ice Baby, and it's true. This is a tricky freaking track, but I just thought that was an interesting comparison. I'm like, I wonder if he is a Vanilla Ice fan.
Oh, you know, I think that was Elio, actually, that made the Ice Baby comment. But, you know, for me, yeah, they had asked me the question, you know, to try and describe this track to just, you know, everyday people that don't race cars and, you know, the conditions of it. And I said, you know, it's kind of like normal road conditions on entries with a bunch of speed bumps in front of you. And then you basically hit an ice lake in the middle of the track and then you exit the corner on dirt. So that was my description of it, which still had some ice in it.
Oh, but right. IndyCar drivers aren't athletes. You do all that. What?
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, Toronto is probably the most difficult place that we go to. Certainly street course wise to figure out the balance because of all the different surfaces, but you're working hard to figure it out.
Joseph Newgarden is the IndyCar winner at Toronto Sunday. Joseph, new names are getting into the victory circle. They're not new names from the series, but they're new names to be at the front of the line. Names like yourself. What's happened to some of the older guys, the guys that have won in the past? What's happened? Is it technology? Are they getting old? What's happened to bring some of the young guys to the front of the line?
Well, I think you got the most competitive series in the world, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, it's difficult for anyone to go on just a dominant tear where, you know, no one's even close to them. I don't think you can do that in IndyCar. You know, there's variables. You've got the cautions that play variables into the race. You know, everyone's up and down from a performance standpoint just because everyone's so close. You know, if you want to find the most competitive racing series in the world, I think you have to look at the Verizon IndyCar series. And, you know, that's not me trying to tell you a plug. It's just if you look at it week in and week out, it's extremely competitive. And really anyone across the grid, you know, whether it's drivers or teams, they're all capable of winning. So it's a difficult championship to master and to become the champion of. So that's, you know, sort of the benefit of it right now is people get to enjoy that. It doesn't become boring for who wins the races.
Again, Joseph Newgarden is in the Speed Freaks pits. Joseph, do you feel some warmth from some of the guys in the past who have won 2, 3, 4 championships? Are they welcoming you? Are they willing to accept the fact that maybe it's time for a change of the guard, a pass of the baton?
I don't think anyone has ever voluntarily wanting to give it up. But you know, they almost don't need to. The guys that have been quick in the past are just as quick. You know, guys like Elio or Scott, they've been around a long time. They've had a lot of success, but they don't slow down. You know, they're still just as quick as ever. So you certainly got a lot of new blood in there trying to mark their territory as well. But you know, the older guard, they're not going to go anywhere, and they're not going to be any more easy to beat nowadays. So I think you're getting a nice mix. You're getting a nice mix of guys that are veterans and a mix of guys that are new and trying to prove themselves still.
You know, and getting back to what Kenny was saying about the parity in IndyCar right now, it's good to see that because it's guys winning from all ages as well. Guys winning from all nationalities, all ages. I mean, I just get so freaking frustrated that IndyCar doesn't have better ratings. And IndyCar, the attendance at Toronto was amazeballs. But how, you know, things are not better for IndyCar right now. It doesn't make sense to me. It can't make sense to you as a driver.
Well, you know, there's a lot of variables that come into play. And I think we're always trying to, you know, figure out the best way to reach a larger audience. But, you know, we have a very loyal fan base that's been with IndyCar for a long time. And, you know, I think there's opportunities in the future that will, you know, hopefully expand the horizons for the series and bring more eyeballs to our sport. You know, we're not missing anything from the competition side, that's for sure. You know, we've got a great mix of talent, you know, competition between drivers and teams, I think, you know, entertaining races. So, you know, there's a lot of ingredients to it, but for sure, we hope to reach a bigger audience at some point too, and I think we'll get there. You know, we have a great base, we have a great audience that we already reach, but, you know, reaching more, that's certainly our goal over the next couple of years.
And Joseph, you still have your cat, right? Your rescue cat?
You know, Simba's with my sister. He's been living there for the last couple of years, so she takes great care of him.
Okay, because I remember there was a tweet. I'm trying to get some personality in here with you because people need to know who Joseph Newgarden is. You rescued this cat. Obviously, your sister has it now, but you never liked touching the cat food?
Oh, well, there was no, I don't know about that. We played these games called Penske games where we made videos. Basically, and there was one video where it was a mystery box, and there was all sorts of mysterious items inside the box that we had to figure out what they were. And one of mine was cat food. So, you know, from the outside, you never know what it is. When you touch something that's like a little bit slimy, you have no idea what you're touching, and it can kind of freak you out. So, pretty entertaining. But yeah, no, that wasn't. It was just a video series that we did with Team Penske.
Attaboy, Joseph Newgarden, joining the Freaks. Congratulations! It's a big win for you in Toronto, buddy.
Hey, thank you, guys. Yeah, appreciate it.
See ya.
Ah, the Penske games. Now the Penske games are changing a little bit because, like we talked about first hour, we're not so sure where Elio Castroneves is going to be racing next year, if he's even going to be racing full-time. Of course, he's going to be doing the Indy 500 until he gets number four, or at least he's going to gun for number four. But not knowing if Dancing with the Stars Season 5 champion and three-time Indy 500 winner Elio Castroneves will have a full-time ride next year in IndyCar is just...
That's
all you can say. Nuts.
Freak Nation, if you missed any of the show, go to the website, speedfreaks.tv. Joseph Newgarden, Denny Hamlin, phobias in the Freak Nation. Quite surprised here, Statman and his phobia for women named Beverly and Krabs. Everybody here in the Freak Nation, remember to shoot the juice to the moose and Statman.
Cut it loose.
See ya.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.